Heavenly Father, we would not want anything better than to know that you are here of yourself and know you yourself are here as God Almighty, Sovereign God, Jehovah Elohim, and in ourselves, Lord, to be very sincere and very humble before you, to listen carefully to your words and obey them. Taking of the bread of life and the water of life as we are at this time, knowing that this message is dressing the bride, knowing, Lord, that we're getting ready for the wedding supper, and if we're not, there's somebody out there surely is, Lord. We know that for a fact because your word cannot fail, but we're happy in this extent at least anyway, Lord. If we're not bride, we will not get in the way of someone who is. We hope that, and yet beyond that, we know we're taking so much of this word, Lord, that's so wonderful, so marvelous, and so thrilling. Trusting, Lord, is thrilling our souls and not just our minds, making our spirits rejoice, not just because we know something and fall flat, as Paul said to Corinthians, oh, I have all knowledge and don't have the Holy Spirit, where am I anyway? But, Lord, we don't believe that of ourselves. We believe, as Brother Branham said, if there are 50 or 100, how many number? He didn't mention them any. All believing they're going to be in the rapture, you believe that you will be as individuals. And, Lord, we believe we will be. And we're looking forward to Brother Branham coming back. And whatever he says and does is going to be wonderful in our eyes, just confirming those things beyond expectation and hope. Oh, marvelous, marvelous, Lord. We appreciate that. Be with us this morning on this day, Lord. We're looking forward to Christmas tomorrow, celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the conduit of Almighty God Himself, who gave us not just an example, who just did not only live the Word, but repudiated that part of the law which was not right in the sense of any real value, even as Jesus said, you tithe and annas and coming, and that's good, but the weightier matter is you left undone, even as Israel did. But we know that Jesus fulfilled that whole entire moral and spiritual law and absolved us so that now we are the righteous, blameless, virgin bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the record said we didn't even do it. And that's what we know real forgiveness is, for the blood scatters sin till there be no evidence, and that's the record. May we believe it today and have further insight in this word, Lord, in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, before we get into number 21, I believe it is, and this is a little bit too late for me to greet the people who get the tapes, but anyway, belated greetings, my dear brothers and sisters out there. And I trust you've enjoyed this series as far as we've gone. And this, of course, we're pretty well winding up the end of the year. And how many times have I preached this year? About 33, if I get next Sunday? Well, you told me 30 a while ago, and I make up your mind. I got to get this down pat so I can feel a little happy or a little unhappy. And 30? Be about 32 or 3. Well, it hasn't been too good a year for me, has it, that way? But anyway, I will see what the Lord brings out. And as I said, I wish the people who get the tapes and hear us this morning on the hookup a very wonderful new year and a more blessed new year, as you know that as things get more and more in line with Revelation, they are bound to get more and more out of line with what you and I want, which is a very comfy life and, go to heaven on bed of roses without the prickles and the briars, but it's going to get rougher. And that's fine. That's fine. They used to say God tempers the wind to suit the sheep, whether they be shorn or not, but that's not really the scripture I like. I like the scripture that says you're not tempted about what you're able to bear, but there's a way of escape made that you'll be able to bear it. The way of escape is bearing it with the strength that God gives, and I know that to be the truth. It gives you rest of heart and peace of mind and soul and gets you strong in the Lord. Now, all right, 2 weeks ago we went into the definite markings for the purpose of pointing out the seed of discrepancy, and we saw three major examples of that seed of discrepancy, the seed of the serpent itself. In Matthew 13, as Jesus himself put it, the children of the devil. Now, there are certain markings that people arrogate to themselves the right to believe make you a child of the devil. Now, there's a book written in Germany and published here now in America, and I see people to the north of us quoted it, where Luther, who married this nun, also cursed and drank, and he was a terrible person. So we find the Jews are making David a sleaze bag, and the Germans are making Luther a sleaze bag. And I'm going to tell you something. If Brother Branham said that Luther was the messenger of the fifth church age, and he was given this revelation by God, and I'll tell you flat, I've never read anything like his by Wesley or anybody else. I don't care what the Pentecostals say. I don't care what the Lutherans say, and I don't care what the Branhamites say. As far as I'm concerned, they are sealing their own way unto the lake of perdition in the pit because they're running down God's anointed. You're going to tell me that David's no longer a man after God's own heart when he knowingly did what he did? Because he had a certain position, he's no different from a lot of preachers who do what they want to do, too. We'll hit that after a little bit. And people sitting in the pews, you do what you want to do. Don't tell me you guys that committed adultery on your wives were coerced by your wives to do it. You're looking for it. You were made to do it. You wanted to do it. In spite of the commandment of God or hell or high water, you found a way to do it. Women the same way. Brother Branham said, pot can't call kettle greasy. So, all right. For two weeks ago, we went into the definitive markings of the seed of discrepancy, serpent seed. And we found three major examples of the children of the devil, as Jesus put it. And Brother Branham spoke of Cain and Balaam and Judas. Cain, to our surprise, but by vindicated revelation, was the father or progenitor of all seed of discrepancy. And even though he was only one person, remember Adam was only one person for the true seed, yet he was responsible as the original seed propagator of ecumenism, of the end time world wide religious order. Now, we know that to be 100% true because that's where it ends up. And you can't have a seed in Revelation and harvest unless it's in Genesis. So the law of Alpha and Omega positively identifies it. And now science comes along, as we showed you, and they found out that all the people of the world had only one mother, Eve. And yet they say there could have been lots of others just like her, you know, those dames running around. High heel plusies and the whole bit, whatever they had in those days, committing adultery like Eve did. But only Eve, one mother. But it's been proven by the genes scientifically 6,000 years later that there was more than one father. Ha! Now let them deny serpent seed. You Pentecostal bunch of ignoramuses. I never know who I'm preaching is going to get these tapes, and I care less. I'm going to die anyway. Might as well be hung for a dog. So Cain, to our surprise, but by vindicated prophecy and the understanding of Alpha and Omega and the holy, mighty word of God in the book of Revelation, poof! That one man is responsible for 5.5 billion people before the flood and now again before the fire falls. We saw that Abel did not join him, but stood apart, so Cain killed him. That's why I preached on these two kinds of love that make me so sick. Don't agree with me. You're this and you're that. No, I'm happy when people don't agree with me, but believe me, I'm not going to agree with them. Let's understand that flat. Cain did not agree with Abel, and Abel did not agree with Cain. Brother Branham added a commandment the same as Jesus did, love your enemies. Brother Branham said, you as brethren should be able to argue together bitterly over doctrine and depart as friends. We saw that Abel did not join him but stood apart, so Cain killed him. 5.5 billion people will not be killed by the Antichrist serpent seed, but God himself will do it. Jesus will stand there. Samuel stood there when Saul let down and would not kill Agag. And Agag mincingly fought, no doubt bowing, scraping, and thought, oh, my life will be spared. And good old Samuel comes on and takes the sword. He's weak now and takes that sword and whacks him to pieces. You say, Brother Bailey, you're bloodthirsty. Drop dead. You don't know your Bible. You know why God demanded in Israel when a child was rebellious that they take him out and stone him? Because he was serpent seed and didn't want the seed amongst them. You know why he said don't marry the natives? They were serpent seed and didn't want them amongst them. So that's why Israel produced a Judas. Oh, you weak-livered people, if you're here this morning, God have pity on you. Get with it. God hasn't changed. He never will change. Same Almighty God will destroy them. Just as Jesus said, and I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but I'll stand here and take pleasure in Almighty God, even though men's spirit rebel and hate my spirit and my bowels of mercy, if I got any. So Cain killed him. In Revelation 13, we see the harvest of this this harvest of this one beast, where about 5.5 billion of them band together, that's the binding of the tares, and kill those who won't come in and join them. Let's see what God's Word said about those people, and let's believe what God's Word said about those people. You bunch of Branhamites out there, you better watch your step. Let me read it to you, and then I'll tell you why I said that. In Jude 3:11, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you, the common salvation was needful for me to write unto you, and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once and for all delivered unto the saints. Once and for all is the original. For there are certain men crept in unawares. That sounds like the Apostle Paul. These men are in the same spirit, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. The word ordained means was written about them. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Lasciviousness? What did the serpent do with the grace of God in the Garden of Eden and he fell for it? Lasciviousness. She was a lascivious person. All hepped up to copulate with this scum. This beast. And even denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. The only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Synonymous. There's only one God, and he indwelt the Lord Jesus Christ. Here you're looking at him. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this. How that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He hath reserved an everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah. See, they both of them that way back there and now today, as it was later on again. We got three things here mentioned. When the original fall took place, when they were kicked out of heaven, reserved in judgment, and then at the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. But even then, there's another time we had the flood. But this is the time of fire we're talking. Even Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. What did fornication go to? Homosexuality. Now let's look at it. Women's lip. And the kids taught in school, hey, have a great time. Hey, your biological clocks are ticking. Your hormones are raging. It's fine. Hop to it. Yeah. Goody, goody gumdrops. I've got no heart of compassion for them. Let them reap what they sow. I'm reaping what I sowed. You think I'm going to change my understanding of God and my ways for a bunch of guys out there that preach a false love, and they have eroticism, and they call it love? They don't even know what the agape love of God is. Too many preachers, even Brother Branham included, said that belongs to God, not defining to the people that you can. But Brother Branham didn't explain it. You can make the piano a God. You can make a violin a God. You can make your horses a God. In other words, that's what your gushing deep love is. And in other words, those are your glory. God is my glory. Hallelujah. It's up to you. We go whichever way you want. I'm not your keeper. I'm your teacher. Now, likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. See? Romans 1. Despise dominion. Speak ye the dignities. The gangster rappers. Everything else. Look where it is. And everybody stands back. And our politicians now feeling the pulse of the people. They're fed up with this junk. Now they're trying to make it look good. Ain't gonna work. When people close their doors and the lamps are turned down, the lights turned off, they'll do what they want, when they want, and how they want it. What are about 300 people in Washington, all their bureaucracies and all their crud going to do? Has it stopped you from lying or cheating or doing what you want to do? No way, shape, and form. If you got enough money, you can do it with impunity. If you're a contractor, you give this stupid senator $10,000 kickback, and he'll give you a $10 million contract and fleece the public out of $7 million. Oh, we got sweet time. There's a hot time in the old town tonight. But you know what? They're going to suffer eternal fire. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. What good would his railing accusation be anyway? Everybody says tone down. I say tone down too, because I'm a pretty rough customer. Everybody said, now don't rebuke this and don't do that. Did they say the Lord rebuke thee? He's bigger than I am. He can do a better job. I'll just stand back and let God do it. That's what Paul did when he said in Romans, neither height nor depth nor anything created, peril, famine, or sword. He said, what does it matter? And they took his head off. Let me tell you something. They're going to suffer eternal fire and damnation. And Paul's going to stand back and watch it. If he cares to, I don't know. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts. Brute beasts. I had a part of one this morning. One slice of bacon. Well, you tell me I'm wrong. I've eaten a lot of cow. I like sheep. But this is worse. They weren't hybrids. This is a hybrid. This is your clone. Well, more hybrid than clone. Brute beasts. Woe unto them. For they've gone in the way of Cain. And ran greedily in the air of Balaam for reward. Perished in the gainsayings of Korah. Now we go to that brute beast. Let's go to 2 Peter. We're going to find the same thing there. 1-16, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damned heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. If there's anything the Branhamites know or should know, is the false prophet, though you've got a lot of them, who can't tell a false prophet from a real prophet of the Word of God from a snowball. And I could name them, but I haven't got time for it. Forget it. His teachers. Teachers. I teach. Brother Branham said I had a gift. Not much of a gift, he sure was true there, but still a gift. Teachers. But everybody in this message has to teach. Evangelists have to teach because they take the word of God. That's one reason I talked to a young man one time when he came here and he said, "Can you say amen?" I said, "Don't ever do that. They'll say amen. They don't even know what they're amen, and you're condemning their souls." But he didn't take any hit. And he won't. It's his business, not mine. I never ask you to say amen. Unless your background is so solid, you should be saying amen before I ever ask for it. But I like your silence. You don't say amen to something you don't know or you don't believe in. You don't manifest a hypocritical spirit. You just keep it down in your boots. That's the place for it. It's true. True. And it needs to be that way. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, like pernicious anemia. Or suddenly takes over and you're in its control completely. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. They can't help themselves. They've got to go against the word. Why? Because they don't come to the place where they think in terms of the true word, which is the Pauline word brought by Brother Branham. My mind is just really getting to the place where you mention one doctrine, my mind goes exactly to what Brother Branham said. What do I care two bits what anybody else said? Oh, brother. And through covetousness. What did I say? Through covetousness. You ought to get your hands on something that ain't your own. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not covet his horse, or his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor anything else. Thou shalt not covet. Greedy dog. And shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, pretending they're preaching the truth, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. In other words, it went into action back there, and it's going on right now, full swing. For if God spared not the angels of sin, but cast them down to hell. That's the same thing you see Jude said. Deliver them into the claims and chains of darkness, reserved unto judgment. Spared not the old world, save Noah the eighth preacher, person, a preacher righteous, bringing in the flood upon the world and God. You see, he brings in what Jude didn't bring in. And turn us into Sodom, going to ashes, condemned with an overthrow, making them an example unto them that should after live ungodly. Now, what was their sin? One of the big sins was homosexuality. It's now condoned. And the government's giving them certain rights that they can marry together. And of course a woman can't have a baby without male intervention. If it's a sperm bank or what it is. Now, but your Lord, she hasn't picked a man yet to sleep with her, the sperm bank, but she's going to have a baby. She's worse than a whore. I wouldn't spit on her. So, Brother Bill, you should have pity. Not when they flaunt it, honey. Not when they flaunt it. If you're a closet, it's all right. You get out of the closet and flaunt it, you ask for it. I don't have any spirit to kill on me. I don't even want to see the people hurt or abused. But I don't sanction for 1 minute nor demand their laws that they want to pass that I sanction anything about them. I'd sooner take a gun and blow my brains out. If you don't have strong feelings, you better get them. And deliver just Lot, foolish virgin, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, their behavior. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawfulness. Brother Branham said, foolish virgin, wide virgin, cut out of the same cloth. Everything the same, but one cut to a pattern, the rest left over. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, fornication, adultery, and now homosexuality. And despise government. They want to take it over. Presumptuous are they, running where they have no place to, no right to tread. self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels which are greater in power might bring not raving accusation against them before the Lord. That's the same thing Jude said. But these as natural brute beasts. Natural brute beasts. What do you do with a mad dog? Oh, we let him bite everybody. He's having fun. You destroy him in the lake of fire. Do you know how strong this spirit is? Have you got any idea how strong it is? After the white throne, Satan gathers his hosts. And they said, let's take God over and the holy encampment. And they come against God and the resurrected people of God, who would take just one to point the finger, and they could destroy all, because God would answer that one finger point, and God destroys them. That sweet little spirit of homosexuality. All the talk, AIDS really isn't the number one killer in America, and the government hides it, but some little reporter snooped around and found out AIDS is the number one killer. How did it get to be number one killer? Homosexuality. Where did it come from? 100% from idolatry. Before it's over, you watch the Catholic Church. You think because they named those old gods and gave them names out of the Bible that they're still not the old crud? You better watch, brother, sister. You think the Catholics obey the Pope? Oh, you got a few stupid men and a lot of stupid women. Mostly women. It's got to be women to represent the church. Many more are the children of the desolate than she that's got a husband. If I snort up here, don't mind me. That's how I feel. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and hot they have exercised with covetous. I've been emphasizing certain words. I hope you caught them. Did you? Covetous. Not covet thy neighbor's wife, thy neighbor's gold, thy neighbor's anything. Thou shalt not go into the holy land like Achan, and he coveted the Babylonian garment and the hunk of silver. And he stopped Israel gaining a victory in battle until God called him and his family out. And he said, give God the glory, confess your sins. And as soon as he gave God the glory, confess his sins, he stoned the whole bunch of them. Stoned the whole family. Stoned everybody. That's a serpent seed at the head of it. We don't take chances. That's why it tells you after first and second admonition, get rid of your heretics. But I could preach a million years here. Some of you will never listen anyway. You got your minds made up. I don't know how many. That's up to you, between you and God. Which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the prophet's madness. So Brother Branham spoke of the three of them. Now, since this message was preached to a group and sponsored by a mixed group and sponsored by the Full Gospel Businessmen's Association, we ought to take heed to these three manifestations and examples of serpency, because he came to the Pentecostals. And then to the Full Gospel Businessmen. They used him to bring in people because they were unorganized. And he said, the minute you organize, I leave you. And one day I sat with Brother Branham, and I passed him their book, and it says, you must believe in the Trinity. You must believe this. You must believe that. He said, can I have this? I said, that's the reason I brought it. I held him to his word, although I didn't need to hold him to his word. No. Every sermon he preached condemned. He didn't have to leave and say, I'll never go with you dirty bunch of birds anymore. You call me, I say, drop dead, you're just using me. He knew they were using him. But he went there and gave a testimony of condemnation to thee, and no railing accusation, just laid it on the line. He left that to dirty dogs like them. So, all right, three manifestations and examples of serpent seed. Cain, number one. Balaam, number two. Judas, number three. And no more, though Korah is mentioned. But he only used these three. Now, the biography of Balaam, which we read in Jude and in Timothy, we have read. And now read again to point out his failings that manifest him as serpent seed. So we go to 2 Peter 15 again, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Don't you see what he did? Now just hold it in mind, and if you're not catching it, I'm sorry for you. And of course in Jude 11, which we read also in the biography, and it said, woe unto them, they've run greedily, 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 greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, 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 reward. Then they perished in the gainsayings of Korah. Oh, how I love the prophet and his message. I cannot wait for him to get back. I'm so stupid and foolish as to believe he's looking over the balustrades. I'm listening into this sermon. He said, when you speak of somebody loving and kindly, that sweet spirit in the room is that person's spirit. Welcome, Brother Branham. You might not believe it. You believe what you want. I'm crazy enough to believe what he said. And we carefully note that Balaam was in the way of Cain, or a follower, and a part of Cain's descendants, and was very ecumenically manifested. And he did it by adultery. And if you have a whorehouse and don't make any money, you better close it down. Now, Balaam had a whorehouse. Oh, I know you don't like my language, if people won't listen to me, because I'm too tough, I'm too crude. Now go to your Pentecostal birds and coo like doves when you're just crows. Now stick the peacock feathers in your rear end, or whatever you want to call it, your hips where the feathers are. Pretend you're a peacock when you're nothing but a buzzard or an ostrich. He ran a house of prostitution. The God of the end time puts the whole thing together. He calls the one system a whore. So I'm supposed to preach different? Huh? Well, you better not believe I'm going to, because I'm not. Let's go to Judas. We go to the book of John, the 12th chapter. And we go to 1:6. And then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, when whom he raised from the dead. That was a resurrection. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus, one of them that sat at table with them. And Mary, then Mary took a pound of spikenard, ointment, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. So Brother Branham said she'd have to stand on her head today to try to do it, and then couldn't do it. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment, and Seth, one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. And Jesus said, let him alone. Against the day of my burying hath he done this. And the last time it's against his resurrection. But he fools him. He comes back and takes over. Oh my, they slipped out of my hands. Got to go back. John 13. And in verse 2. And supper being end, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. What did he have in his heart first? Greed, corruption.
Now he's got a kilt. That's why you understand that Cain was that first one. He wanted to take over everything. That's why he killed. Now, he couldn't kill his father and mother, then he wouldn't have a wife. Oh, shrewd, smart. The devil, you know, is like a fisherman. He's smart. He reels in a little at a time. Then it's like, choop, he's got the gaff out and he's got you. Like a roaring lion, necessary to subdue you. Or sweet, sweet, sweet little canary, sing you dead. That's why you and I have to say the Lord rebuke you and the Lord help us. Oh, hallelujah, how he helps us. All right, John 13, 21 to 29. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples look on one another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. You know, John liked to pat himself on the back. That's okay, come on. If you don't compliment yourself and got faith in yourself, nobody else ever will. That's what people always talk about, your intrinsic worth, your value. You got to forgive yourself, then this will happen. You got to believe in this in yourself, then that. And that's true, brother and sister. And John beat them all like a fox. They boiled him in oil, wouldn't kill him. He finally died, just went to sleep one night. Passed on to be with the Lord. Having educated Polycarp, who talked to Irenaeus, who defied the people who believed who were Gnostics, who believed in Sophia, the goddess. We've got it right today in the Branham movement. I'm criticized. And one guy wrote a letter and said, well, he didn't mention my name, he didn't have the guts. And he said, one day I would believe in the female spirit in him and tell the people that I thought it. I never believed in the two-soul doctrine because I believe they were misquoting Brother Branham somewhere, and I found it in James. Listen, you sit and wait, you'll always get your answers. You run around, blab your mouth off, you watch what'll happen to you. You make yourself somebody. The guy that started this whole thing, he said Brother Branham called him a Timothy. So now he's the Timothy. Brother Branham, I believe, called a lot of kids that. A lot of times you pray and say, the Lord, make this one a preacher. And then they go around, I'm a preacher, I'm a preacher. You're a son of a millionaire. I'm a preacher, I'm a preacher. No congregation ever buy you. Thank God Jesus helped me and my wife has helped me too. I gave her more credit than I would ever give myself for anything. All right. We're keeping reading, I hope. All right. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that's to John, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. Then lying on Jesus' breast said to him, Lord, who is it? Good old John. I like him in spite of it. Oh, he was a wonderful guy. Maybe someone will say that about you and me sometime too, in spite of us. Jesus answered, he it is whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Simon Iscariot, Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Jesus said, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him, for some thought, because Judas had the bag. That Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that are needed against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Something to the poor? Well, he had them food. Especially notice he had the bag. Luke 22. Luke 22, 1 to 6. Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill Jesus, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number 12. The very time they were plotting, and he was having the Lord's Supper, commemorating his death, Satan entered into Judas. He had the bag. He had the money. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and certain how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. Money! Give him money! I want money! Money, 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 money! This is what it's all about. It's money, 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 money. There's money! I'm not trying to be dramatic. I'm trying to drill it into your hearts and minds what this is about. And I can't do it. And what was it? It was all about money. Wasn't that so foolish? All about money. My, my, my. Now, if I slap you in the teeth, it's not because I love you. Because I just love the Word of God. And preach it as best I can to be the truth. And where it goes, I don't have to answer to God for you. I answer for myself. Every man shall bear his own burden. And every man's work should be tried. He himself is by fire. And if I have overdone it, I would sooner overdo it than having underdone it that you missed it. But I can stand before God on this day of December the 24th and said, I preached that sermon against money. I preached and showed the way of Cain. I showed them what Brother Branham taught and why he taught it. And I'll stand in the judgment. And if he casts me into hell, I'll have this one report. I stood with the Word. But I didn't stand good enough someplace. I didn't catch it. And I got condemned. The fifth verse, and they were glad. They were glad because they had the money. And money would get rid of Jesus. Money would get rid of Jesus. Money, 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 money would get rid of Jesus. And Judas also was the line of Cain, even though he is an Israelite, as we see over here in Romans the 9th chapter, where Paul distinctly tells us the truth. And he says, all Israel is not Israel. You can be 100% a Benjamite, right down from Abraham. And you can still be lost. Now, let's go to 1 Timothy. And in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verses 9 to 10. Well, we read verse 7, 8, 6. But godliness with great contentment is great gain. Godliness, godliness with contentment. Abiding by the Word is great gain. Gain. Means you don't lose it. Means you've got something you didn't have before. Means you've got assets, you've got capital. For we brought nothing into this world and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptations and a snare. There's a certain preacher says he believes this message, and this is God's truth as far as I'm concerned, because I've had people tell me it's on a tape. He said, if Jesus tarries for 20 years and I'm your pastor, there'll be 40 people in these pews millionaires. If Jesus tarries 20 years, I hope you're all dead. And I trust you've just got enough to get by on. But to wish you millionaires and to prophesy, forget you. Money doesn't do one thing for you. Except put you in debt, because what you have you're responsible for. And that's what's driving me crazy over that house over there and church property, because I've taken the burden all on myself. Because I'll burden nobody. Don't worry. There'll be a way out. God always gives a way out. And to many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. It's not only tough here, but to go to the hot spot. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while many coveted, 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 coveted. They have erred. They've left the truth and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Flee these things. Money, money, money. Covet, covet, covet. And follow after righteousness, godly faith, love, patience, meekness. I can't understand how preachers believe certain things they believe. I can't believe that way. And I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm just trying to... Now, the word love of money is one word, which means greed or avarice. And it says that is the root of everything. So root and avarice are in apposition. The root is what is avaricious, and it comes up to the man. Fervency. Now, it doesn't have to be that way. How many of you people ever heard of the British Foreign Society? That's the name, isn't it, actually? Do you remember, John? That's it, the British Foreign Bible Society. Ever hear of it? Well, I want you sometime to get some old records, and you will find godly barons, earls, lords, ladies, who left as much as £1.5 million, which was $5 in those days, to send to missions overseas. The age of pollination, the age of love, where the seeds scattered everywhere, where the Puritans were born, where great men of God flourished, where men like Taylor, not Hudson Taylor, but the one that went to the islands, where there was no water. The natives wanted to kill him. They stood out there one night with spears to come and pierce him too. He prayed to God all night long. The next morning the chief knocked at the door. And he said, "Can we come in and look around? We'll not touch you." He said, "Come and look around." He said, "Where is that great shining army that stood outside your door last night? Where have you hidden them?" And Pentecostals jump around, squeak a bit, and talk in tongues. And they said, "I just heard recently a Pentecostal preacher, Branham preacher, so highly esteemed in a high position. His wife one day said to a certain friend of mine, you know this brother down there we thought always had the Holy Ghost. Why, just last week he got the Holy Ghost." And he said, "How do you know?" "Because he jumped out of his seat and jumped and danced and screamed." He just shut his mouth because Brother Branham said, "No sensation, no demonstration, no manifestation." Who are you believing, brother, sister? Who are you believing? I want to know who you're believing. That's why her husband drives a BMW or a Mercedes-Benz or something, I guess, brand new. What you can do is no problem with me. Love of money is one word. It means avarice. It means greed. And it says it's the root of all evil. So if avarice is a root, what do you expect to come up? A greedy person. Well, you're going to tell me that Satan wasn't greedy? Why, he said, "I'm going to take it all over. I'm going to take God over. I'm going to depose him." You talk about greed and avarice. Man, just please talk about it. Don't do it. Now, this is not the word evil as in John 3. Because the deeds are evil. It has a different meaning. This word does not describe the effect. The deeds were evil. Something came out of it. Out of the deeds. This describes the intrinsicality of the person himself, which means he's intrinsically evil. He's born greedy. And it's got such a hold on him, he'll find every way to get that greed. Now, the worst Judas I know in this message is the greediest person I've ever seen in my life. There's nothing he won't do for money that I know of. Now, this man Judas is born that way. He has come from a long line of kings. This character flaw makes its push for the gold or silver, like Balaam and Judas, because they did it. So, love of money people who are greedy and avaricious, sell out for the mammon of unrighteousness and miss the true riches. Sure they do. That greed is the root in them that comes from the discrepancy life, or the tear life, or the serpent life. And it is why the Malachi of 3:7 to 18 was written. And we'll only look at it for a minute. Just a couple of verses. And it says here in 7, even from the days of your fathers you have gone astray from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me and I'll return unto you, said the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're greedy. You're greedy. You're avaricious. Oh, but no, I earned that. That tithe belongs to God. It isn't yours in the first place. You can keep 9/10, but 1/10 is God's. And you can say what you want about it. You sit here, if you deny it, you're liars, and the truth isn't in you. And you never did believe the word, and you never will believe the word, because you're off the word now, because a man wrote in and said, Brother Branham, as a Christian supposed to pay tithes, he said if he's a Christian, he will pay tithes. And I don't want your stinking money, and you know it. Now, what about it? A sweet little check right now. What about it? Now he says right here, you are cursed with the curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes in the storehouse that may be meat in my house, and prove me now you were here with, saith the Lord of hosts. What meat? What kind of meat you get in the house of God? You get the word. See, there's certain principles you start with and you continue. Watch what happens. See if I'm not up within the heavens and pour you out a blessing, the manna, not room to receive it. And that's the way the manna came. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast the fruit, and so on. And then it goes right on down there, and they talk about being mournful before God and so on. They look at themselves, yen, 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 I'm so sorry, whine, 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 whine. You never have to whine if you obey the word of God. You just stand still and watch it work. And just so now you call the proud happy, that work wickedness are set up, and ye that tempt God are delivered. A guy went around trying to convince a certain person in his church I was teaching tithing wrong and all. The tithe is your increase, whether you believe it or not. You can drop dead as far as I'm concerned. I'll face you before the judgment seat of Almighty God. When you are increased, that tenth belongs to God. If you don't believe it, ask Greg. He's a farmer. It's based on farming. It's based on merchandising. You buy a thing for $50 and sell it for 1%, which means you sell it for $100, according to Jews. You can take everything out of that $50, the cost of your salesman, the cost of shipping, the cost of this and that, and what's left over is net, and you pay 10% of it. And when you get a job that pays you fringe benefits, and you haven't invested a nickel in that company, that is what you get. You pay on it. The church pays my lights and these bills. I pay on it. If I find I'm wrong, I go back and pay on it. I've already paid the IRS so much they owe me money. That's all right. This is why Malachi 3:17-18. And notice these people that believe, that come back to God. They that fear the Lord spake one to another. They're talking to each other, talking the message. And God says, that's my people. Now, let's go to Matthew 6:24. See, this is not to preach to get your money. You forget it. I don't need it. If you think I do, I'll write a check and pay everything back to anybody ever gave me, even those outside that support me. I could lie in the ditch and die if I had to. Hey, not boasting. Look, let's face it. No man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'd hold the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. Now, what does God stand for? The proper understanding of the natural things of this life, which number one has got to be money, because it is a communicator. It's a denominator. We don't barter anymore. What we do in cars sometimes. You can't serve God and mammon. Again in Luke 10. Because I'm leading up to show you something. Now don't take this to heart that I'm harping on tithing and all. This has to do exactly what I'm talking about. Because you can tithe and get 30 and 40% and not be right. Because you got something in your heart where the greed is. And the greed is you're only doing it to get more than you ever gave. Or to get a prestige or to look good. Or you get it to win a lot of people just like you. Because you're ecumenical. You don't even want what they got, you want them. Now, I beg your pardon. Luke 16. 9 to 13. And I tell you, make yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. You clothed me, you fed me, you gave me drink. You were sympathetic. I have no truck and trade with the Salvation Army, but if I gave any money outside of this church or the people of this message, I would give to them alone. The Red Cross, I wouldn't even spit on them. During both wars, they sold the coffee and donuts to the boys, but the Salvation Army gave it to them. Why shouldn't they give it? They got it for nothing. We gave them money, whoever gave them the money. He that is faithful in that which is least, that's a little rotten 10%, is faithful also in much. Now this tells you what can be. It doesn't have to be, but tells you what can be. And he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit you the true riches? If you're wrong in the earthly bread and the bread that perishes, who's going to make sure you get the bread of eternal life? Now listen, I didn't write this book, but this is how I believe it. And I stand on my record. I have done right by money, or I'm going to do right by it somehow. I got to. Because if I go astray there, I'll go astray here. Just like TV. If you're taking an axe and busted your TVs yet and watch your video cassettes, you don't get trapped and watch how many shows you go to. I'm not out there watching you, but I hear stories. Maybe they're liars. I don't know. I don't think they are. Hey, you ain't got much chance. You're not listening to the TV. You're listening to William Branham. I'm just saying what he said. Only video cassettes weren't the rage then, but TV was. He said that everybody else said, the Nazarene just said, oh, you wouldn't go to the movies, so the devil brought the movies in your house. Especially through the disc guy, you watch all the pornographics and everything else. Which, hey, I'm a man, I understand that. I got no problem. But Brother Branham said, real man of God will turn his head. I've got a stiff neck the last few years. Huh? Well, the Bible said for the priest to confess for the people between the porch and the altar. I'm the priest, so to speak. If you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? What's money got to do with another man when God doesn't even want it, though it's his? The ministry. That's why they had their church suppers and everything else. You know why the Mormons in 70 minutes can encompass the world in the Pentecostals? Because they're strict tithers. And God cannot remove the blessing of abundance. I don't care who uses his word. His word stands. You can spread the manure of the gospel. Let's go to the ungospel gospel. Let's go to 1 Peter. I want to read about 1 Peter here. I want to show you something that I stand for. And I can tell you John McCrae does too, because we work hand in glove. If he's a bum, I'm a bum, and if I'm a bum, he's a bum. Sorry about that, because confession is good for the soul. For fifth chapter, 1 Peter, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Hebrews 6, eh? Huh? And he kept it. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight of, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being a sap of the flock. One guy conned me. He let me know that people in his district and his church only got a pittance. Hardly any money. Church down to nothing. I sent him $5,000. He may hear this tape and I don't give a rip. Boy, that's all he had needs. Then he boasted he gets $120,000, $150,000 a year and he calls it his. I don't call that mine. And I'm not a model of virtue because I have plenty of money coming in. Plenty of money. It's almost like a curse. Because who needs it? My soul doesn't rejoice and respond to this, and the fatness of God fill my soul, and my mind instantly go to the true word of God, and my body respond, what have I got? I'm in debt. Now notice 5 and 10. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And he'd been talking about money. And the elders, serving the people serving each other. Like Jesus said, when after the elders got through passing out the broken loaves and fishes, he said, gather up the crumbs, and they had the crumbs. Cast all your cares upon him, he cares for you. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. You know, I quit preaching one time because of money. The people didn't pay time. They'd send their tithe to some radio guy while I took care of all their problems, prayed for the sick, everything else. I didn't know they were a bunch of serpent seed. I didn't know the first thing about serpent seed. You call yourself a Baptist and that guy preached a little bit about salvation, I thought you're saved. What about the great Dr. Lee? I told you about him with this little lovely woman that was a Presbyterian missionary. She shouldn't have been. She went to hear him. She said, Brother Dale, I never heard a more wonderful sermon on salvation. When he got through, he said, come and shake my hand. All right. Now let us recall Brother Branham's sermon on leadership. 1965, the end of the trail. To the same mixed group and the same sponsorship. He speaks of the rich young ruler who esteemed his riches above God, though he claimed a positively wonderful relationship with God and proudly obeyed the commandments. But he neglected the spiritual laws. He did exactly as Judas. He sold out for money. He said a lot of things. He couldn't part with it. You know, it gets to you. Gets to you. Nice things become a trap. Nice cars become a trap. Nice trips become a trap. Nice clothes. Anything can become a trap. For where your heart is, shows there's a treasure there. Your heart's looking at it. The agape love belongs to God, the supreme love. Not to a Cadillac or BMW. Not to your father, to your mother, to your children. Not to your preacher. Not to something that is out here. Belongs to God, the invisible God, who man even had his picture taken in this hour here. Now that's, if that's not worth the tithe, he ain't worth nothing. See, I don't want your money. You understand, before God, I'm not speaking on money. I'm leading you to something. I ain't got there yet. Now, the end of the seven church ages ends in Revelation 3 and chapter 14, beginning, and unto the messenger which is in the church of the Laodiceans write. These things set the amen. I've said it. This is it. You watch. It's going to happen. It's got to happen. I'm winding it down. The true and faithful witness, the beginning of the creation of God. That's God going to manifest himself in human flesh, which was in Jesus Christ, and now at the end time in William Branham. So, William Branham! See, you don't even pay your tithes. What do you got to talk about? Well, I do pay my tithes. You ain't got a revelation. Jesus, you ought to have done, not left the others undone. Paying your tithe ain't going to get you there. Not paying your tithe could keep you up because it shows what you are. It doesn't mean that you kept up because of that. Greedy people, greedy preachers. I know thy works are neither hot nor cold. I would they were hot or cold. That, you know, tepid water makes you vomit. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I spew you out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not your wretched, miserable, naked, blind. I counsel you to buy me of gold tried in the fire. You haven't got it, you think you have. Thou mayest rich in white garments. You think you got it, but you don't. You're naked, so you could be clothed. That the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Now notice, the shame of the nakedness appears in the presence. Nobody believes. Hey, look at that pillar of fire again. Nobody believes that. Really believes it. Really believes it. Oh, they really do to a degree. Like me, I'll fight for it and defend it. I was there in his presence, didn't even know it was there. Time after time after time, like many people. But he proved he was there. Just according to his word and according to people's demands, Moses, you go. We want to hear it again. We don't want to see anything anymore. You go up there and come back vindicated. That's all we need. We take a vindicated prophet, then they kill Jesus. Oh, brother, what a mess. And anoint thine eye with thy salve. You don't see, you think you do. You think you got the Holy Ghost, but you don't. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. The end time message is change your mind, get with it. You haven't got it, you lost it 2,000 years ago, and now you got nothing but what the devil gives you. What else would the devil give you, having taken the real Jesus, given a false one, taking the real Spirit, given a false one, and the real Word, given a false one? My God in heaven, what more would you want? You tell me Satan's not ruling right now? That his church is not really ruling? Sure, it's ruling. It's just that he hasn't been exposed, but he will expose himself. Just like Judas. And the serpent seed is like Judas. Brother Branham said Judas only thought that he believed. Now, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Up any man, one man, William Branham, open the door and come, and I come into him, supping him with me. And from that there on then, there will become the great, powerful overcoming. Now, there in the very presence of God, and God's chosen, all three. Cain, Balaam, Judas, turn and defy God. Hearts full of corruption, the love of money, greed to control. See? You say, what about Cain? God was there, and Abel was there, the elect. What about Balaam? God was there, and Moses in the elect was there. What about Jesus? God incarnate was there. He never got as far as John 14, did he? Judas blew it in John 13. They turn and defy God. Oh, yes, they turn and defy God. Just a minute. Just a minute. See if I can find it. Ah, but there were false prophets also among the people. That's Corah, Dathan, and Abiram. So should be false teachers, those elders that went haywire, among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies against the word that will kill you, even denying, saying no to the Lord that bought them. Now how can you say no to the Lord if God has not demonstrated somehow his own word bringing it into manifestation. What have you got to stand on? Your own reasoning, your own thinking, the reasoning of Israel crucified Jesus. Oh, God, have pity. If a nation is one people worshiping one God and coming together and trying to serve that God, deny Him. What about us who are so split and fragmented into thousands of products? They defy God. This is Hebrews 6, 4 to 8. Hebrews 4, 6 to 8. See, we haven't gotten before. I'm going to quit right away. I hope so. Hebrews 6. Oh, my. All thumbs. No, I can't see. For it's impossible for those who are once for all enlightened have tasted the heavenly gift, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, tasted the good word of God, the powers of the world to come. You think for 1 minute Judas didn't have all of that? He did. You think the full gospel and businessmen of Pentecost don't have it today? They do. Positively. Having followed or knew their repentance, seeing they crucified themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him in open shame, for the earth would drink it in the rain that often come upon it, that's the word, and full of the Holy Ghost, seven times it came, and bringeth forth earth meat for them by whom it is dressed, received blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars rejected, and nigh the cursing was any learned. But beloved, we're persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation. Why? Because the two vines are like razor blade apart. These guys taste, they got everything poured out in the last day before the tribulation, Acts 2. But there's just one little group to whom the light comes. And they're not true. Think of Revelation 3, 14 to 19 as Hebrews 6, 4 to 8. Think of it. I'm rich in Christian goods and don't lack a thing. I've tasted the heavenly gift. I've got the power of God. I've tasted the power of the world to come. Listen, I'm Pentecostal. Hallelujah. Spoken tongues, prophesy. A genuine ministry. Yes, sir. Bless God. Bless God. Bless God. A genuine ministry. Hey, folks, pass the basket. My wife, when our boy was dying, phoned down to W.V. Grant's son. I don't think he got the message. But the secretary positively said, well, send money and plenty. When Paul came, we brought him to Columbus. And the meeting was beginning to break. And if anybody was, well, forget it. I told you all about him. But the thing is, when the meeting was beginning to break, then he went down into John Immler. And the guy with him, his name was Morton or Morgan. And John ran out of money. And the guy said, we can't stay. You know what it takes. How different met that Bosworth. Go on nothing and come away with nothing. Can't they labor 6 weeks? His wife's running out of money. The gas meter won't work. And she said, oh, God, got to have hot food. Please send hot food. We got to have a cook. Tinkle, tinkle, tinkle. God puts a coin in the meter. They lived on wheat because he read that wheat contains every element. It did in those days. They lived on it for months and months. But he said, mind you, it was great, but I wouldn't want to do it again. F.F. Bosworth, a jewel, fully carved heart from the heart of God. Don't worry, he'll be there. He wasn't meant for this hour and this age. He couldn't see, but he's the guy that tugged my coattail and said, Brother Bill, for 40 years I prayed for the ministry of Christ to return to this earth, and there it is in that man. He understood Son of Man. How could he do it? Revelation by the Holy Ghost. So there it is. Revelation 3, 14 to 19. Rich increased in goods. Hebrews 6, 4 to 8. Then Revelation 20, 22. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If the prophet hears my voice, I'll come in and sup with him and he'll tell you all about it. That's Hebrews 6, 9 and 10. Beloved, I don't care how rotten it is in Revelation. I don't care what these guys are like. You are something special. You'll get there. No problem. God hasn't forgot your righteous works, of which one is 10% and given to widow and orphan another, whatever it is. With this in mind, that the intrinsicality of the serpent seed is greed, avarice. Satan wanted it all. He wanted to depose God. He wanted to be sovereign. So at the end time, as the Jews have the paper and that Rome has the gold, they've got to come together. They won't give it up. You think they will? Come on. You haven't been listening to my preaching over these years. Let's go to John 8. And Jesus said, "Here, you do the deeds of your father, the devil." Verse 41. They said, "We be not born of fornication. We're not serpent seed. We're not a Cain. We have one father, even God." See, they knew there was more than one father. Well, didn't they? Merciful God, how could they talk this way if they didn't? They were sincere. They said, "Don't you pin us on the other guy. We go back to God." Fornication now to means you're off the word. You're flirting with organization, ecumenism. We're legitimate. Sons of God, according to flesh, handed down from supernatural foreknowledge and election and predestination to the natural. He said, hogwash. Jesus said, "If God be your Father, you'd love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why don't you understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil. You are the seed of discrepancy, and the lust of your father you'll do." The lust of the father translated into money, because money's the common denominator and can buy anything that's for sale. And it will be for sale if it's high enough. No millionaire, billionaire, right today, do you think Sam Walton with $20 billion wouldn't give it all if he didn't have, if they could take away the cancer of his prostate and he'd live another 20 years? Well, maybe he loved the money so much he'd sooner die and leave it to his kids. You never can tell. They're crazy from the beginning. They're devils from the beginning. I don't know what he was. I'm giving him an example. I'm not running the guy down. Just giving an example, see? All right, what about 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter? Let's take a look at it. And it tells you right in there, "Let no man deceive you, for the son of perdition must come, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God." Now the son of perdition was Judas, and he was coveting. He had the bag. He had the money. He sold everything for a bit of junk that he can't take with him. Listen, this age here has so many nice things. Sure, we'd love to live and enjoy them. And if we want to live and enjoy the things more than we want to get taken away, we've got to examine our hearts. I got problems at times too. Finally, after all my years, when I don't need them, I got things that are very nice. But if you said, "Brother Dale, would you give this all of us?" Well, it doesn't really much matter, because I haven't got time to dust them, I haven't got time to wear them, I haven't got time to use them. You can have them. Just leave me a few things that I can get by with. He sits in the temple of God. "Remember not I was with you, now you know what withholdeth." In other words, there comes a time when this Judas line once more becomes incarnated with Satan himself. Yeah. And it's been done, and people don't believe it. 666, the very day that Israel and Rome got together and signed a spiritual covenant. "We won't bother you, you won't bother us." Why did they do it? Laying the groundwork because of money and the gold. Money and the gold. Now, what am I talking about here? I'm talking about the very truth here. Israel has the paper, the Jews have it, and Rome has the gold, and they form a union of two serpent seed religions in order to preserve what they've got. They have to do it, and the Jews, of course, will be at the mercy where the gold is. See? Together, they actually take over what Satan wanted in Matthew 4, 1-11, from Jesus: "Fall down and worship me, and I'll give it all to you." And he's got the power until a certain limited time that he can give everything he's got to one single person who will rule the entire world. And it's based upon the fact of money. Money, money, money. Israel said, we'll kill him, or we'll take our place amongst the nations. He'll take it away from us. They were not supposed to have a place among the nations. We're not supposed to be organized. The only reason this church has got a corporation paper, and it could be wise, could be dumb, I don't know. Somebody broke his leg, they could sue us for any amount. Each one of us was individual. It's just a little government protection. Paul took government protection. He appealed to Rome. I guess we can appeal to Rome. We don't compromise ourselves. If they say, we're going to shut your church because you don't believe like we do, let's shut the church. Brother Branham said it'll come. Now we're to Rome. Beg your pardon. We're to the book of Revelation. And it's the 18th chapter of Revelation. And these things, and it tells you here, Babylon the Great is fallen, full of the habitation of devils and evil spirits and unclean, hateful birds, all nations drunk of the wine of her fornication. They're hooped up and they're wumped up with wrong doctrine. Oh, yes, the kings of earth committed fornication. The merchants are waxed rich to the abundance. It's all over. It's all over now because God's messenger said, come out of her, my people. Rome's in the driver's seat, whether you want to recognize it or not. The Jews have made a covenant. They're hook, line, and sinker in it. Babylon. Brother Branham one time said something like this. The Methodists want the Baptists. The Baptists, the Presbyterians. The Pentecostals want it all. Another said, another time he said, Methodist, Baptist, witchcraft. We've seen Roman Jerusalem form a union. The stage is set for the Antichrist. That's the son of perdition, fully filled with the mastermind, the devil, as the sum of wisdom, who fools the world because he solves the money system. And they say, well, that's got to be God. Yeah, got to be. It ain't God. Oh, yes, it's God in sovereignty. Sure it is. We have seen Jerusalem and Rome form a union. The stage is set for the Antichrist even now. And I was going to turn to page 12. Instead, we're going to eat and go home or whatever you want to do. How many minutes left? How many? Six. Oh, man, I preached too long. I'm going to tell you to get me down to an hour. Let's pray. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we've been together here this morning. And with great gratitude, we thank you for being able to present the truth. Maybe harsh, but not as harsh as it's going to be for having turned it down. And as the prophet said, no matter what I do, I hold their nose and they spit the medicine back in my face. And he said, it's too late. Somebody's got to tell them. I don't know if I'm that somebody or not. I would certainly hope that there would be somebody who could tell them in a sweeter, gentler way, perhaps. But I've got no axe to grind with anybody here. They've got their own acts if they don't obey the truth. It's up to them to think what they want to think and do what they want to do. Because that's the way it always has been. Brother Branham said, I always do what I want to do. I want to do his will. I wish we could all say that here. I know we'd love to be able to say that here. And just perhaps, hopefully, we'll grow to that full stature. Be moved upon by the Holy Ghost, be living statues, as Brother Branham said. Maybe he was referring to himself or the end time bride, as she's caught away in a pyramid with that capstone. I don't know, but I know there's something more for us, Lord, by way of revelation. This great inspiration that causes this flame of fire to burn and increase. Grant, Lord, that amongst us at this particular moment, and we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Heal the sick amongst us. I thank you for especially helping me this morning to have the strength to, and keep my mind clear and all to get up here. Even if it was rotten, even Lord, if it wasn't the truth, it's certainly you that helped me to have strength because the devil never heals or gives anybody any help. Just knocks you down and tromps on you and expects you to get up and work like a dog. But as old Daddy Bosworth said, God never worked a willing horse to death. I haven't even been a willing horse, of course, Lord. I admit that in many ways.
So we acknowledge your goodness and your kindness to us and to the people here. And may, as the prophet said, how you ought to love each other, you love this message, really come into full fact and effect amongst us. I just one thing I would certainly appreciate, to know that is there. And we love you this morning, Lord, and thank you for all benefits of grace and goodness and mercy. As we are dismissed now, go with us and help us and keep us. If we stay, may it be likewise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated, I guess. I guess there's supposed to be a little pageant, is it now? It isn't? Well, you're dismissed now. Oh, 20 minutes later. Well, take the name of Jesus with you. You're 20.